20 minutes.
If you just joined us, I'm here with, I'm Karen Loke, your host for our live webcast today, and with me is Teresa Parker. She's a granddaughter of famed Comanche Chief Quanah Parker, and also Billy Turpin, who's the leader of the Plains Indians Intertribal Council. And he's brought a whole lot of things to show us. And what do you have there?
Okay, what I want to show you first is my fans. This particular fan is made of golden eagle feathers, tail feathers. There's five of them. And this is my ceremonial fan. I use this in doing different ceremonies.
Hold it real still so he can get a shot of it.
And the colors mean things to me. I'm retired military. It's red, white, and blue. That's my colors. Of course, I honor my country. And the red and white is also the color in the Muscogee Nation. And I honor my Indian Nation when I use this fan also. And of course, we're always honoring the eagle. And he was our sacred bird, especially on the plains here. The eagle feathers have a sacred power, have a healing power that we use. And we still believe that today. And I use this fan, like I said, in different ceremonies. What we call smoking ceremonies or smudging. Where I use smoke and I do cleansing ceremonies, different types of blessings. I perform weddings and stuff like this and use this fan. And this is my ceremonial fan.
And why do you do the cleansing? Why is that so important?
For someone that's sick, possibly, or having bad feelings, that's had a bad time in their life or something, and they would like to be blessed and have a cleansing, we do that for them.
Okay.
And this particular fan here, this was a gift. It is a tipping of an eagle's wing stretched out to fly.
Okay, hold it real still there.
And this is my dance fan. I use this when I do gourd dancing. And gourd dancing to us is like a warrior's dance in the old days. Today it's for veterans. But it still flies. When I dance, I have to grip it very tightly. It's very light. But the way it is stretched out, when I move it through the air, it catches the air and it moves away from me. And as long as we take care of this fan and do it properly, and as I pass it on to my son and grandchildren, the spirit of this eagle will live forever. Because he lives within me, it also lives here.
So when you're dancing, the spirit is with you?
The spirit dances with us.
That's really neat.
And then this is, like I said, he will live forever as long as it's taken care of properly.
Now, where can one go to see these?
Our dances and stuff like this. We have powwows here in Amarillo twice a year. But in the state of Oklahoma and other places, there's powwows every weekend where the people gather together. And we call a powwow, it's like a gathering of family.
Mm-hmm.
We get together and people we hadn't seen in a year or two or 3 years or since last year, and families come together, and it's just a dancing, honoring our creator. But there's different types of powwows now where we do contest dancing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm trying to say. Where they dance for money. It's a prize money. It's kind of like a rodeo also. But the circle that we dance in is sacred, and it's blessed before anyone comes into it. Before a woman comes into the circle, if she is not in her native dress, she has to wear a shawl over her shoulders. And the only time any other people can come into the circle to dance is when we have an intertribal dance. And that invites everybody, all tribes, white and Indian.
Okay.
And this is, like I said, my dance fan.
We got about 15 minutes.
Okay. I'll cover these real quick. What other things I brought here is before the white man came, and when we did our hunting and hunting the buffalo and stuff like this, we didn't have the metal tips, so we used tips like this. This,
this tip, give the thumbs up there.
Yeah, these two tips right here are about, I had them checked, and they said they're anywhere from 300 to 400 years old. Spear tips, lance tips.
Are these hunting techniques?
Hunting tips. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And then when the white man came, he brought things like this for us to hunt with. This is a Hudson Bay trading point. Steel, and this particular point's about 200 years old. It was found here in the Texas Panhandle about 20 years ago. So this point actually came from the Hudson Bay area, fur traders trading to the Indians for their furs. And I'd like to see the history of this, how it traveled from that time down to here, and who had it. But it'd be very interesting. But these are different things that we hunted with then. And again, to kind of go back, before we got the steel points, we made weapons like this. This is a war club. Just a rock on a stick. Really, it's all it is. When you separate the two, they're harmless, but when you put the two together, you have a very formidable weapon, even as today. It wasn't made to hack or anything. It was made to one solid blow would crush your skull or break your arm, break your ribs, break a leg. It's very heavy, very stout, and it's a very formidable weapon. A lot of people look at it with the rockets for them. They want to call it the tomahawk, but it's not. It's just a war club.
And this was a weapon that all the tribes used?
Everybody had war clubs.
Okay. How many tribes were there in Texas?
Texas right now, in the state of Texas, about that time was probably about 10 or 12 major tribes at that time. The Caddo were here, the Apache were here, the Tonkawas were down south, because the Comanche and Kiowas, Cheyenne. Further to the east over here was the Apache. And there were some smaller tribes on down, further down, that came across the border. And then as the white man came to us, he brought us things like this. This is a pipe hawk. It is a functional pipe.
Hold it in one spot, and then you want to turn it over, just twist it over.
Right. So. This is a functional pipe on one side and a weapon on the other side. The way I held this would tell the people's attitude that were approaching me, whether they wanted to approach me or not. Okay, I'm going to bring this up to my chest. If I held this like this, walking or talking with the pipe up, they would come, they could get close to me. That told them that I was trustworthy of them and I wanted to talk to them or whatever. But like this was okay. But if I turned it over with the blade up, holding it like this as they approached, it was common at that time not to get very close to the person, because now I have a striking weapon to strike probably under the chin as he got close.
Mm-hmm.
But this told the person also that I didn't trust him, I didn't like him. Don't get close to me, because if you get close enough, I'm going to hit you with it.
And you would just...
It just kind of come out as a strike, mm-hmm. and then as you bring it across, then you got a weapon in your hand. But if a friend approached, someone that you knew, of course you would put tobacco in this, just a very small bowl, light it. He would take the first puff, you would offer it to him. He would take a puff, I would take a puff, and as you can see, move it down so you can hear the air flowing through this. And then between friends...
You don't inhale.
No. Between friends then, you would talk to one another. As you took a puff in those days, you would actually say what was on your mind. If you had a problem with your friend, then you would tell him that your problems at that time, that you offended me or whatever. You went to him and not to other people with your problems. But anyway, this is that type of pipe. It's called a pipe hawk. This type came from the northeast. It was a trading item, mm-hmm. and it came down to this part of the country in the late 1860s.
We have a couple more questions.
Okay.
Justin and Sam want to know, what is the Native American position on killing bison?
Today or then?
They didn't specify.
They didn't specify. In the old days, about the 1870s, we were very upset by this, by the buffalo hunters coming in, because we would go into a hunt and we would find carcasses and bones that all they took was the hide. They did not take the meat to hunt. All they wanted was the hides, and it was very upsetting, I guess, for our people, because this, again, was our life.
Mm-hmm.
This buffalo provided everything. We used every part of the buffalo. Everything was used. I ask kids today if they ever glued their fingers together with super glue, and we had super glue in those days. We'd take the buffalo hoof and grind it, and it was our glue. And mix it with water, and it was almost like super glue.
You used it to glue your fingers together?
Yeah, you could glue your fingers together with it. You sure didn't want to get it on anything?
It would. Yeah, but that's probably not what you would
do. No. A lot of kids would, they say, I got my fingers glued together.
Don't try this at home.
This is another shape of a pipe hawk. This is an antique. This one is probably about 200 years old. It has a buffalo bone tip for the pipe here. And this is a harpoon-type pipe hawk, they call it, because of the shape here.
It's a little pointier.
A little pointier, a little more effective type weapon.
Okay. The other one didn't look like a bad effect. But
no. And again, this one also told the people the way you carried it told the people how to approach you. Okay. We had, before the white man came, we didn't have the metals like we have here. We had blades and knives like this. This is an obsidian knife, a clear, like, glass substance that was used, was found in this part of the country and other places, and we would make knife blades.
That's from the ground? That's
this
rock?
This is from the ground. It's just like glass.
It's like glass.
Uh-huh. It's an antler handle. Very effective. But this is something that we used. Also use flint for flint knives and stuff like this. But this is what we used before we got things like this. See the beadwork on
this
knife?
That's beautiful.
This is actually a Sioux skinning knife. It's a woman's skinning knife for skinning buffalo, and this is what it looked like.
Now, why doesn't Academy sell things like that?
I don't know.
I would buy one.
But this thing right here, this particular knife is about 150, 200 years old also.
Wow.
They're antiques, but they were actually used for skinning. This particular knife still got some of the blood stain on the handle.
Wow.
So it's a...
And the blade is made out of...
It's made out of metal, just kind of a teeny metal.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very used, and it's not real thick, it's thin. It was like a trading knife, you know, they would trade things and stuff like this.
Somebody wants to know, do Indians still get to hunt buffalo?
Every once in a while, different state parks or different national parks, they will have a small hunt.
They kill them in Lawton, Oklahoma, yeah. And butcher them, yeah. For,
really?
For people who want to eat them.
Right. And I know out up north they have some hunts, not big hunts, you know, and today we don't kill them like we used to. We use the rifle.
But that must be very important.
Right. To carry on the traditional mm-hmm. ways. Some other things I got here. You talk about buffalo hunting. This is one of the...
Buffalo's good.
Yeah.
This was one of our main weapons.
It's a big one.
Between about 1800 through the 1870s, there's a war lance. This particular lance is 7 feet long. The original lances were about 14 feet long. But this has a buffalo head on it to the lance, the point itself. As you can see, it's quite long.
Uh-huh.
And this was, like I said, it's a lance. It's not a spear. It wasn't throwed. It was used just like the knights of old in England, up under the arm, horseback.
Like jousting?
Just like jousting. In fact, okay. That's the way they fought with them, too, same way. But hunting a buffalo with this...
You're probably out of our camera range.
Coming back...
Don't stab the photographer.
See, the head's quite long. Come up behind the buffalo, riding on him. This big bull be running about 20, 25 miles an hour. You're on horseback. Your ranger fall, and you're concentrating on the buffalo. You would try to put this right behind his shoulder blades and thrust it in as far as possible. That's the reason this head is so long. It would reach into his vital organs and kill him pretty instantly. And you didn't want the animal to suffer at all.
Yeah.
Because he was giving his life for your life, and you didn't want him to suffer. This is one of the things that a lot of people didn't understand. When we did our hunts, we didn't just go out and hunt. Before we left, before we did our hunts, we had big ceremonies of praising our creator for providing all these animals for us. And then once we went on the hunt itself, again when it was over, we had prayers and stuff and thanking the animal for giving his life so that we might live. Every time, any kind of hunt, it was always a prayer, because we honored life itself. Everything has a life.
Mm.
And just like everything I have on today, everything, the colors, everything has, I honor someone or something on everything I wear. But that's just one of the things we use to hunt with. Of course, we always use the bow and arrow. We always went back to the bow and arrow. This particular type bow is called a horse bow. It's about 3.5 feet long, designed strictly for horseback. About a 65-pound pull. Of course, you're riding at top speed, and you're putting 2 or 3 arrows. Of course, this type of arrowhead here is probably for small game. The arrowheads we use for buffalo were quite big to puncture this skin because it's very tough.
Yeah.
And but this is what this was used for. And of course, we used it for warfare and mainly for hunting.
Now, and wait,
okay.
The bow itself is, what is this?
It's usually a bow dark, what we call bow dark wood.
So it's made out of wood?
Yeah, made out of wood. And
and the feathers mean something?
Just for decorations for now, but in the days you would decorate possibly with some of the animals that you killed, the hide or the skin. We would strengthen this with strips of rawhide
mm-hmm.
to strengthen your wood with it.
Okay.
But this is one of our main things that we hunted with, not only buffalo, but everything else. And then, of course, the white man came by 1860. Most of the Plains Indians, let me get this out, if you pull on
sure.
the end of that.
Now this is leather and
yep.
beadwork.
Leather and beadwork.
All very beautiful, handmade.
But by the 1860s, even down to this part of the country, most of the Native Americans had rifles like this, a 10-round repeater rifle, used for hunting. Again, it was very good for buffalo hunting. We didn't set off at a distance like the buffalo hunters of the white men did with the big rifles and just shoot them and so they'd fall. We rode right into the buffalo with them.
Mm-hmm.
That was the purpose of the hunt. It was the great honor to mix with the buffalo, because he may kill you. You're going out to take his life and he may take yours. So that was a big honor and a big hunt for us. But we use weapons like this. Against the cavalry, Custer, against the Kinsey in this part of the country, we had these rifles, 10 rounds compared to his single shot round rifle. A lot of times we didn't have the many ammunition that they had, but at least we had a rifle. It was also a status symbol also for a war leader to carry a rifle.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a few of the things that we had at those times that the white man brought to us many, many years ago and then went on.